welcome wherever you are, whether you're in your lounge room, your bedroom, your kitchen, out and about. We want to welcome you this morning because I really believe the Lord has something incredible for us this morning. We've been talking about resetting, how the coronavirus thing's come along and it's given this incredible opportunity, perhaps for the first time in history, for us to actually reset our lives, to actually take our lives and do something different and have a good look at our lives and reset things. We talked previously about resetting faith and holiness, priorities and love. And today, I want to look forward to this one. We want to reset our destiny. Because many of us, you know, people talk about destiny all the time. They say, oh, it was destiny that this happened. They call it fate. They call it destiny. You know, this thing came. It was just destiny that I should meet them. It was just destiny that this should happen. Like it's some external force that moves into your life. But that's not what destiny is. Destiny can certainly be affected by or influenced by circumstances, but it is not determined by circumstances. Because your destiny is determined by your decisions. That's what it's determined by. You make bad decisions, you'll finish up with a lousy destiny. You make good decisions, and you will finish up being able to move into an incredible destiny. And God has a destiny for every one of us. But the truth is, if we're honest, in the hustle and bustle of life, through the changes, through the decisions that we have to make, most of us lose our destiny to a large degree. And in this unusual time in history, with this pandemic going on and lockdowns and all social distancing and all that sort of stuff, we have a tremendous opportunity, in fact, perhaps the perfect opportunity, to reset our destiny. It's like you get a free hit right now, because everything that we knew before seems to be finished, and we have a new paradigm, a new way of living, a new way to do things. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, that's one of our favorite verses. I don't know if you know this, but it's one of my favorites. God says this, "For I know the plans I have you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So rather than trusting circumstances or swallowing what other people tell you you should have in your life, whatever your destiny, or that's your lot, that's where you're destined, rather than swallowing whatever life hands you or doing whatever the media tells you to do, we have a unique opportunity to pause right now and to choose to trust the Lord. This same God who said those words, he said, "I plan to prosper you, not to harm you." See, if you're not sure who he is, it's very hard to trust him, because he might be out there with a big stick ready to belt you up. But he's not if you know him. This God says, "I plan to prosper you, not to harm you. I plan to give you a hope and a future and a destiny and all of these things." God says, "I've got it all there planned." And so he's the sort of guy, the sort of God you can trust. So as we enter into this short message today, I want to pray, and I want each of us to just open our hearts to what the Spirit of God is saying. So join me in prayer wherever you are. Just take a few moments, close your eyes and pray with me. Lord, right now, Lord, we choose to take our eyes off our circumstances, off our past, off our upbringing, off our failures, off the pain, off what everyone says we should be. We choose to take our eyes off that, Lord, and place our eyes firmly on you. Lord, we place our eyes upon you. You are our creator. You are our sustainer. And you are our Lord. So Lord, right, say these words with me. Lord, right now, I seek your destiny for my life. Say that with me. Lord, I seek your destiny for my life. Father, I pray that you would speak to us in these moments, that you would either open some destiny for us or rekindle again, reignite the destiny we once had that we've lost. The hopes and dreams we once had in you that we've let go. Father, I pray that you would just stir them up this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. See, the thing is, you have a destiny. Each and every one of you watching this has a destiny. You're not an accident. Sometimes we say that about our kids. Oh, look, here's our little accident. That's a terrible thing to say. They're not an accident. They could have been to you, to the parents, but they're not an accident to God. See, you are not a mistake. God has a destiny for you. With all of your hang-ups, with all of your screw-ups, with all of your handicaps, your challenges, your fears, whatever it is you face, God has a plan, and you are it. You're it. In fact, God told... Those verses I read before came from the book of Jeremiah. Right back at the start of that book, God said this to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. He says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. So before Jeremiah even drew breath as a baby, God had a destiny laid out for him, an appointed prophet to the nations. That's an incredible thing. You may look at yourself right now. You might look at yourself and say, well, I'm a failure. You might say, well, I had a rough start in life, or I have a disability I have to deal with, or I have fears, or I have lack of self-esteem, or I don't get the opportunities other people do. But I'm telling you that God has a plan and a destiny for your life. It's been established from before you were born. And this destiny involves you conforming to the image of his son. In fact, in Romans 8, verse 29, it says this. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that you might be the firstborn among many brothers. So he has a destiny for you. It's to look like Jesus. But along the way, he can open up an incredible and a unique destiny for you, if you would obey him, if you would listen to him. And now is our moment to reset. So what does discovering your destiny depend upon? Well, I'm going to go through seven things that your destiny depends upon today. The first thing is your destiny depends upon your identity. A key step in discovering your God-ordained destiny is to know who you are, your identity. You might say, well, I know who I am. I'm Darren, and I live at this address, and I, you know, have this as my phone number, and this was, that's not what I'm talking about. Who are you really? Because if you can get a glimpse, if you can get a handle on your actual identity, it will affect the way you approach the rest of your life and your destiny. Prince Harry has caused a bit of controversy recently. This was pre-corona, but anyway, you know, there was a world before coronavirus came. But Prince Harry has caused some controversy because he married an actress and he's moved away from England and has forsaken his duties and his destiny as a prince. It's a huge step that he's done for love. It was just assumed that being a prince and being the son of Charles and Diana, that he would act a certain way and he would follow a certain destiny because that was who he was. He was a prince. And it was just assumed that he would do that until he decided, no, I don't want to do that. His identity dictated his destiny until he made a choice that said, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do something else. So my question to you is, who are you really? When you strip it all back, who are you? What's your identity? And hence your destiny. Well, 1 Peter 2 verse 9 gives us a glimpse of this. It says this, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own, for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Folks, you and I, we are a royal priesthood, and we need to live like it. And we need to move towards our royal destiny. Probably step one is don't marry an actress, but that's another question. We need to move towards our royal destiny because we are royalty. When we look at ourselves in the mirror, we should see royalty, and royalty behaves a certain way and they move into a certain destiny. You might call it privilege, but they have a destiny that they follow because they are simply royalty. Royalty behave differently, and you and I should behave differently because we are royalty. If he's the King of Kings and you're a son or daughter, that makes you a prince or a princess. And you may not feel like it. You may look in the mirror and say, well, I don't look like it. But that is your identity. That is who you are. The second thing that destiny depends upon is your faith, believe it or not. God has a plan and a destiny for you. But you're not just a passive person floating along with this. It depends on your faith. To follow your destiny takes courage. It really does. If you look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 is the great, what they call it, the hall of faith. It's like a who's who of who had faith back in the Old Testament and so on. And it starts with Hebrews 11 verse 1 says this, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the certainty of things not seen, or the conviction of things not seen. It takes faith to move towards a destiny you cannot see. I don't know about you, but I like to see where I'm going. Does anybody like, have you ever been in a rainstorm where it is raining so hard you can't see where you're going? And it's just your windscreen is just full of water and it's just raining, your wipers are going crazy, but you can't see through it. It's too heavy. Well, most of us, the sensible ones, pull over. But some of us say, well, I'm going to go forth by faith, even though we can't see anything. But it's pretty scary. I like to see where I'm going, and I bet you do too. I like to know that I'm going somewhere and to see the way forward. But many of the great heroes of faith could not see the end. That's what destiny is like. You don't get to see the end. You get to see the next bit. Hebrews 11 verse 8 talks about Abraham, for example. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance, as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. So God didn't sort of bring out the Google Earth and say, okay, Abraham, here's where you're going to go, and here's the journey, and here's all the truck stops along the way and all those. He didn't say that. He just said, follow me. And Abraham launched out into he didn't know what. And that is faith. And that's what it takes for your destiny. If you want to know everything that's coming in your destiny, you will never step out into it. You need to step forth by faith. And again, we have a God who's promised he's going to prosper us and not harm us. He's going to give us a hope and a future. We can trust him, even if we can't see it. It takes faith. The third thing is destiny costs you. See, moving into your destiny isn't a cruise. People say, destiny just hits me and I have to do it. No, you don't. Destiny definitely costs you something. You can't get a nice, comfortable, cruisy life. It always costs you. Every decision you make, good or bad, every time you make a decision, there is a cost involved. It costs in time, costs in effort, money, or lost opportunity. That's why Galatians 6, verse 7 to 8 says this. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, he shall also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit eternal life. You see, anything worthwhile costs you. The question is, are you willing to pay the price? I often say, well, you know, I can't afford, I'd really like a really nice Porsche, but I can't afford. Actually, I'd really like a Tesla because they look pretty cool, but I can't afford it. But that's probably not true. If I sold, you know, property, if I sold my children into slavery, if I sold my business, everything else, I could probably afford it. The thing is, the cost is too high for me. I don't want it that bad. So for you, how bad do you want your destiny? Are you prepared to pay any price? That's the question this morning. Whatever you decide, whatever you reap, you will sow, the Bible says. And you will sow more of it and later of it. Whenever you sow, you will reap more of it and you'll reap later. God has a destiny, but the question is, will you pay the cost, even up to your very life? I know one of the turning points in my life was when I said, you know what? I'm not going to pursue careers and money and all that. God, I just want you. I just want you. And that pivotal moment changed my life, even as a young man, because it took me from being I'll just float along, she'll probably be right, to no. I need to find your destiny for my life, whatever the cost. It's a pivotal moment. The fourth thing about destiny, that destiny is determined by, is by God. It sounds a bit, you know, obvious, but destiny is determined by God. You can't pick what you want. You need to trust that God will choose your destiny that he wants for you. Ephesians 1 verse 11 says this, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. He works all things to bring about his purpose that he's predestined for us. Now, I'm sick of people coming to me and getting mad at God because they told God what they wanted and he didn't do it. God is not your performing dog. He is not your servant. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Creator. He created the universe and everything in it. He is not there to do your bidding, but he has a plan and a destiny for you. If you would change, instead of saying, God, why don't you do what I tell you, and saying, Lord, I will do whatever you tell me, then you will discover a whole new dimension in destiny. Right there, with one change of focus. Because God, who created the universe, he also loves you and he has a destiny and a plan for you and he wants the best for you. He knows us. And in fact, according to Romans 8:28, it says this, and now we know that God works all things for the good of those who love him. who've been called according to his purpose. He has a purpose and he works all things for good. All of it. Even the bad stuff. You know, if life seems to dish you lemons, God can make lemonade out of it. He really can. He can bring good out of even bad and evil stuff. He will bring good. This pandemic, it's evil, it's wicked, it's killing people, but out of this, God is going to bring some good. He's already bringing good. If you reset your life right now, if you reset your destiny, he's already bringing good out of this pandemic right now. See, God arranges and works all things to bring about his destiny for us. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says this, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God is out there preparing good works. He is already moving ahead of you to prepare your destiny. The only question is, are you going to be obedient and walk into that? You are God's workmanship. He's made you. He's created you. He's trained you. He's done incredible things in your life. But the question is, are you going to just follow your own way or are you going to follow God's way? Because if you follow God's way, he's out there prearranging stuff. That's what the verse says. We're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared beforehand. He's out there preparing them if only you would be obedient. The fifth thing is, your destiny is not for you alone. People talk about their destiny. Well, here's the thing. You don't live in a bubble. Well, some of you do. You live in isolation at the moment, but you still have interaction with people. Your destiny is not for you alone. It's for everyone around you, because others around you bear the consequences of the decisions you make, good or bad. When God called Abraham, he said this. He was called Abram at the time. Genesis 12 verse 2 says this, and I will make you a great nation and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Not so that you can have a great name and a great nation and be the hero of the hour. I am blessing you so that you will be a blessing. God says this, I will bless those who bless you and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. See, Abraham wasn't blessed just so he could have a great life. He was blessed so that generations after, all around the world, could be blessed as well. He was blessed to be a blessing to them. And it's the same for us. Your choices, good or bad, affect those around you. And it affects generations to come. So decide now to choose God's way, not just for your sake, but for the people you love, and for your children, and for their children, and for their children. Listen, if you drop away from church right now, if you let your life with the Lord fall flat, if you turn away from him and do your own thing, you're not the only one who will suffer. Your children and their children will suffer. If you stay connected to the church body, there's a high chance that your children will grow up in the church. And then they will bring their kids to church. And then they will bring their kids to church. And the effect of your good decision will last for generations. But if you turn away from Christ, chances are your kids won't go to church and their kids won't go to church. And so your future generations will be condemned to hell because of the decision you make. That's destiny, folks, right there. That's why that verse in Deuteronomy says, I put before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Now choose life that both you and your descendants might live. Not just you, your descendants might live. The decisions we make affect everyone around us and affect generations to come. Those not yet even born will be affected by the decisions we make and the destiny we pursue, good or bad. The sixth thing is that destiny can be lost. Most of us will know this. See, destiny is not set or written in stone or in blood. It's not immutable. Fulfilling your destiny depends on you and your obedience. But if you disobey God, you will lose your destiny. It's that simple. If you disobey God, you will lose your destiny. Don't believe me? Let's open the Word of God and have a look at it. Because many Bible stories feature men and women, particularly men, with great destinies, great potential, but they lost their destiny because of disobedience. They lost it. King Saul, for example. King Saul was Israel's first king. He was an ideal candidate. He was tall. He was handsome. And he was initially successful. Everyone loved him. But then he repeatedly disobeyed God. Time after time after time, he went his own way and disobeyed God. And when God had enough of it, it culminated in Saul not waiting for God and then disobeying God's direct order. At that point, God had had enough. And Samuel comes to meet him, the prophet, and he says these words to Saul in 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. Listen to this. This is important. Because Saul was saying, well, I have obeyed you, but you hadn't obeyed him, Saul. You'd done your own thing and tried to make it look like you had obeyed God. This is what the Lord said. Samuel said this. Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed or to listen to God and obey is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king. At that moment there, Saul lost his destiny. The first king. He could have been the first and greatest king of Israel. He had all the goods, tall, handsome, successful, all of that stuff. But at that point, when he disobeyed God continuously, God said, I've had enough. You've lost your destiny. There are others. Look at Samson, for example. Samson, an angel heralded his birth. He was going to be a great judge. He was going to be the greatest judge in Israel. But he was so selfish and self-conceited, had incredible strength. But if you read Judges 13 through 16, you'll see this guy was a train wreck as far as his morality was concerned. When it came to women, he made every bad decision in the place. And he lost his destiny. If you've heard of the name Delilah, you would realize what I'm talking about. See, God anointed Samson. He was powerful, strong, but he continually made bad decisions, culminating with this chick called Delilah, who comes along, who arranges to finds out his secret. They chop off his hair. He loses his destiny. He kind of regains a little bit of it later on, but it wasn't God's initial destiny for him. He lost his destiny. King Uzziah is another one. King Hezekiah is another one. What about Solomon, the greatest, wisest man in the world? Perhaps Israel's greatest king? He lost his destiny towards the end of his life. Listen to what it says in 1 Kings 11 verse 4. For when Solomon was old, his wives, who were foreign wives, you know, he had, 600 wives and 300 concubines, that's 900 wives, which is 900 mother-in-laws. So how wise was he really? Not too sure. But it says this, when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods. And his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. See, so many people of faith in the Bible lose their destiny. And I bet many of you watching this morning, you've lost your destiny. Was there a time, maybe when you first came to Christ, maybe when you were a bit younger, when you looked at yourself and you realized you had potential in your life? And maybe you stepped out in faith. Maybe you did things for God. Maybe you had a dream of serving Jesus. Maybe you said, I want to be a missionary. Or, oh, Lord, I want to preach, or I want to do this or that. You know, you had this dream and you wanted to make a difference. And you knew God had a great destiny for you. But somewhere along the way, you just lost it. Life caves in on you. Things are busy. You've got to go and earn money. You've got to get jobs. You've got to get married. You've got relationship hassles. You've got kids. You've got your in-laws. And life just implodes in on you and you lose your destiny. I bet there are thousands of you in that very boat. You had a great destiny, but you lost it. I've got some great news for you this morning. This is your opportunity to reset it. It ain't over till it's over. And unless you're in a box in the ground, you have the opportunity to reset your destiny starting this morning. The seventh thing destiny depends on, and we've spoken about this before, but it depends on your choices. You see, ultimately, destiny is a product of the choices you make. I meet people all the time who blame God for their lot in life. I blame God because I'm an alcoholic, or I blame God because this has happened in my marriage. And whatever it is, but this bad, we lost money here, I blame God. Everybody blames God, but no one asks him before they make the decision. They make their own decision. Then when it goes wrong, they blame God for their own foolish decision. I meet people all the time who blame God for their lot in life when they've never been obedient to his word at all in their life. See, the choices you make carry destiny with them and within them. Not just for you, but as I said previously, for generations to come, that you and your offspring might live. See, I see it all the time. People who turn away from God, then blame God, and then their kids are brought up with this anger towards God. Because the parents have an anger towards God because they made a dumb decision and had to wear their own decision. If you truly love your kid, if you truly love your children, decide to follow Jesus today. That's the big decision for you. That's the way to find your destiny so it is felt for generations to come. Decide for Jesus today, and that decision could last for eternity and last generations. People often quote the Old Testament, you know, that the sins of the father will be passed on to the son, to the third and fourth generations, but they neglect to say that the blessings will be passed on for 1,000 generations. But you can pass your kids' blessing or curses, your choice. If you refuse to obey God, why should he bother leading you into a destiny if you don't even obey him? We said before, you don't get to see the end, you get to see the next little bit. But if you refuse to be obedient in the next little bit, he's not going to lead you to the bit after that and the one after that, is he? You have to be obedient to that next step, and when you are, there'll be a step after that and a step after that. But if you're disobedient, don't expect to move into your God-given, awesome destiny in him, because it won't happen. It requires your obedience. It requires the right choice. But I've got to tell you, now is the perfect time to reset your destiny, to hit that button. See, sometimes it takes a seismic event to shake your life and to help you to see the truth. I've seen people in this situation many a time. Sometimes it takes a catastrophic event to make you even consider things in a bigger picture, because we get so wrapped up in our life. It's just all the making money and family and relationships and possessions, that we get wrapped up in that stuff. We don't see the big picture. We don't step back and see destiny. We just see our little cocoon that we've made for ourselves. And sometimes God will allow a catastrophic event that makes you see more than what's just right in front of you. And it can happen in your life with something like a death of someone you love can shake you up, a divorce, a financial loss, a church split, something huge that is painful that messes up your life. But it does get your attention. Now, this worldwide coronavirus pandemic is such a seismic event. This is an incredible opportunity for us to hit the reset button and to discover the great opportunities of moving into your destiny. Or if you've lost your destiny, hit the reset button, you get to start again. You get to try again. You get to do it again. That your destiny, the gift of God, is without repentance. It's still out there. It's still, God has a destiny for you. And now's your moment to hit the reset button. You're never too old. You're never too young. Whatever you've done in the past, this can be your moment to regain the destiny, the potential that once was there. God has a destiny for you, and it's time to get back on track this morning, I believe. Ephesians 4:22-24 says this: put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. I tell you, God has a righteous and a holy destiny for you. You could be the one that shakes nations. You could be the one that brings God's gospel to nations that are yet to hear. You could be the one that speaks words of life into people who are living in death, to relationships that are dead. You could be the one that brings life to it. You could be the one that speaks the word of God out to people and they listen. You could be the one who sings and they listen. God has an incredible destiny for you. But you have to hit the reset button. And this is your moment. This is your free hit, folks. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through the death of someone close or a massive financial loss or a church split or anything. I don't want to go through that. They're too painful. But this pandemic is your moment to hit the reset button and say, you know what? I can hit that reset button and I can reset my destiny right now. This is your moment. Here at Ignite, we believe that you have a destiny. We believe everyone has a unique and a wonderful destiny. And we can help you to regain your destiny. There are courses you can do online. There are people you can connect with. As we're starting to come out of lockdown, there are people who will meet with you and speak with you. If you want to Zoom with them, they can Zoom. If you want to Skype, they can Skype. We're so old-fashioned, we even use phones. But we can connect with you and lead you into your destiny. But we are just servants in this church. We just are servants. We don't hold your destiny. God holds your destiny. And if you turn and repent right now, you can and will rediscover your destiny. Psalm 138 verse 8 says this, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." Some of you feel like God's forsaken you, like that you've walked away from him and you've sinned so much that you've lost your destiny. Yes, you've lost your destiny, but he has not forsaken you. He has not turned his back on you, even though you turned your back on him. That destiny still stands if only you would reach out to him now. This is the moment to reach out to him. God hasn't forsaken you. He has plans for your life. We saw it in that verse we started with. We're going to finish up with that verse. Jeremiah 29:11. God says this, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Now, he said those words, not directly to us, but those words were originally said to a group of exiles. These were Israelites who had been defeated in battle and were on their way into exile in a foreign nation. They were torn from their homes. Their loved ones were either separated or killed. They were slaves without freedom, without money, without wealth, and without hope. And God said to them, "I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you." Can you believe that? If God can say that to that group of people who were slaves, who'd lost everything, and ask them to trust him, then he can surely say that to you or I. He says the same words to you or I. God says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future." Read destiny in that. If only you would be obedient. So church, I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you to pray with me. And I want you to open your heart and let the Lord have his way and let him lead you into your destiny. You won't see the end result here, but he'll show you the next step. It might be hosting a lunch in your house. It might be making a phone call. It could be having a coffee with someone. It could be just coming to church when we can come to church. It could be just, you know, flipping on Facebook and saying, "I'm going to watch that service. I'm going to open my heart and let God speak to me." God has a destiny for you, but it depends on the choices you make. And most Christians these days are consumers. They just sit back and take. Well, I'm telling you, this is your moment to get involved and be more than a consumer. Are we temperature gauges or are we thermostats? Many of us are just temperatures. We're just like a thermometer. We just sit there on the wall and we reflect the temperature of everything that's going on around us. If it's bad, we're bad. If it's good, we're good. But God calls us to be thermostats, to set the temperature, not just reflect it, to set it. And God has a destiny for each and every one of us to do that if we would only be obedient. So I'm going to ask you, church, to pray these words with me. Now, after church, as always, we're going to have a Zoom meeting. You're most welcome. We'll put details up for that in a moment. But today, right now, right at this moment, I'm going to ask you to reach out to the Lord for your destiny. Would you close your eyes, wherever you are, in your home, in bed, in the garage, wherever you are. Close your eyes right now. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But I'm going to pray it with you. I want you to pray it. So I want you to take a few moments. I'm going to give you a few moments to do this. It's just you and the Lord. And the first thing I want you to do is to pray for your destiny. You may not even know what it is. Some people don't know, but just pray for your destiny. Take a few moments and say, "Lord, I want to follow you into my destiny. Begin to show me my destiny." Take a few moments and do that now, just for a few moments. The next thing I want you to pray is to ask him what the next step is in reaching your destiny. What is the next step? Take a few moments and ask him right now. Lord, what is the next step? What do I need to do? Ask him for something specific. Do I need to make a call? Do I need to connect with someone? Do I need to talk to one of the pastors here, or leaders? What is it that you need to do? What's the next step that leads you to your destiny? And the third thing I want you to pray is this. I want you to pledge to be obedient. Say to the Lord, Lord, I pledge, I promise you that I will be obedient to you. Take a few moments, do that now. These are seismic events in your spiritual walk. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. As many of us here have prayed this prayer, and we said, Lord, we want to be, we pledge to be obedient to you. Lord, I pray that you would open up a destiny that the gates of hell shall not stand against. Lord, I pray that you will open a destiny before us with the unique gifts and talents that you've given us. And Lord, I ask that over the coming weeks and months that that destiny will become more apparent in our lives, that we'll begin to see with your eyes and see further into the distance. But it takes obedience. And so, Lord, we once again, we just want to thank you for your love for us. Thank you that we can trust you with our futures and our destiny. But Lord, as we reset our destiny right now, we have all of us prayed this prayer that we promise to the best of our abilities that we will be obedient. Lord, forgive us for the times that we've been disobedient. But right now, Lord, we commit ourselves to being obedient to you now and into the future. Lord, we give you our hearts right now. Maybe you've never even asked Jesus into your life. I cannot finish this meeting without leading you in a prayer. If you've never asked the Lord into your life, or maybe you did a long time ago and you're not sure, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven or hell? Because the Bible says it's one or the other. If you can't say with absolute certainty that you will go to heaven, pray this prayer with me, because we need to be certain that your destiny into eternity is taking you to heaven to be with your Lord. Say these words with me. Lord, I'm sorry that I've done my own thing. And right now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I turn from my sin to you. I ask you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. And I thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit and for the gift of eternal life. And Lord, I thank you for the great destiny you have for me. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, I want you to contact us. There's some details up here on the back. Send a text to that number, get on our website, doesn't matter, get on the Zoom meeting, don't care. What I want for you to do is to reach out to someone, because your destiny is not just affecting you, it's everyone around you. Reach out, we can help you reach your destiny. But trust me in this, God has a destiny for you, and this is our moment to reset it. If you promise to be obedient, I promise you that God will remain true to his promise and will lead you into your destiny. But if you're disobedient, he can't lead you because you're not following. You're going your own way. You've got to go his way. Lord, I thank you for speaking to us this morning. Lord, I thank you that you are resetting our destinies. And I pray, Father, that over the coming weeks and months, regardless of any restrictions that are put on us by law and by government, Lord, that we would find a way to reach towards our destiny, that we will begin to move towards our destiny in obedience. And Lord, we pledge ourselves to follow you no matter what. Whatever the price, Lord, we pledge ourselves to follow you. Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit and bind us together as a community at this time when churches are struggling because they can't meet face to face. Lord, bind us together. And may we come out of this pandemic stronger in our spirit, stronger in our church, stronger in our families, because we've followed you into our destiny. And I ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.